In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. On Pentecost, the apostles received the grace of the Holy Ghost. Following the teaching of their Lord, they went out, teaching all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. It is right then that today, 1 week after the Sunday of Pentecost, we celebrate the mystery of the Trinity. St. Gregory Nazianzen identifies Pentecost as a step in the gradual revelation of the Trinity. He says, "The Old Testament proclaimed the Father openly and the Son more obscurely. The New manifested the Son and suggested the deity of the Spirit. Now the Spirit himself dwells among us and supplies us with a clearer demonstration of himself." By gradual addition, St. Gregory says, the light of the Trinity came to shine on the more illuminated. Now, illuminated as we are by the Spirit, we can look back and appreciate those distant Old Testament preparations for what they are. The story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac, which is perhaps the ultimate Old Testament prefiguration of the crucifixion, contains Trinitarian hints. Saint Caesarius of Arles, a bishop of Merovingian Gaul, says, "When Abraham offered his son Isaac, he was a type of God the Father, while Isaac prefigured our Lord." We'll see also the typology of the Holy Ghost as we look at this story more closely. The story of Abraham and Isaac is deceptively simple. Abraham hears a divine voice telling him to sacrifice his beloved son. He complies absolutely. Isaac, like Christ, carries the wood of his own sacrifice up the mountain. At the end, Abraham is stopped from killing his son only by another voice from heaven. The narrative exemplifies Hebrew style. There's little concern for physical details, like how old Isaac was, where Sarah was, and even where the mountain was. But the author uses these gaps to great effect. For example, when the story begins, God tells Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There, offer him up as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you." The name of the land, Moriah, is connected at least phonetically to the Hebrew root Ra'ah. It means to see or to reveal. Since seeing and revelation play such a large part in the story, this makes sense. Abraham is told then to journey to the mountain of revelation where we will see indeed. The next morning, Abraham saddled a donkey, took Isaac and two servants, and after cutting wood for the burnt offering, set out for the place that God would show him. The reader is left behind as father and son draw off together. What do they talk about? We don't know. We aren't party to that inter-father-son communication. We are only told that on the third day, Abraham caught sight of the mountain from a distance. Origen, in his homilies on Genesis, asks why God told Abraham to offer his son and then directed him to the mountain. Could not God have directed Abraham to the mountain and then told him to offer his son? We can answer that this was so that Abraham, in contemplating the coming sacrifice over the three-day journey, might resemble the Father, who from eternity contemplates the sacrifice of the Son. So Abraham contemplates the plan, and on the third day he sees the mountain from far off. The significance of the three-day journey was not lost on early Christian readers. Saint Caesarius writes, The fact that Abraham arrived at the place of sacrifice on the third day is shown to represent the mystery of the Trinity. That the third day should be accepted in the sense of a promise or mystery of the Trinity is found frequently in sacred books. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go on over there. We will worship and then come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, while Abraham himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two walked on together. We've seen that Abraham is a type of the father who sacrifices or who gives up his son. Isaac is a clear type of Christ who carries the wood of his own sacrifice. And here, when they ascend the mountain, we see the familiar sign of the Holy Ghost. Fire, like the fire of the Holy Ghost that descended at Pentecost. Abraham carries the fire up the mountain as he and Isaac ascend together. Isaac is to be sacrificed in a burnt offering. This narrative, then, is the story of a father giving up his son in sacrifice, facilitated by fire, just as in the crucifixion, we have the story of the Father giving up the Son in sacrifice, facilitated by the Holy Ghost. It is, in some mysterious way, the work of all three. The Eastern Fathers call this perichoresis. It comes from the Greek words for turning about the same place. It's the mutual interpenetration and permeation of the persons of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are always present in the same place and in the same works. Not to the point of confusion, however. Only the Son was sacrificed. But it was according to the will of the Father and strengthened by the Holy Ghost. This is why, in Gethsemane, our Lord can say, "The hour has come. Father, glorify your Son, so your Son may glorify you." And elsewhere, he says, "The Spirit of truth will teach you all things. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and give it to you." The three persons are glorified in one work, without confusion of persons or division. So too, by type, in the sacrifice of Isaac, only the Son is sacrificed, not Abraham or the fire, but the sacrifice, in some mysterious and typological way, is the work of all three. Origen notes that when Abraham carried the fire, Isaac does not follow behind him, but goes up with him, that he might be shown to contribute equally. The Father and Son walked up together with the fire between them. When they left the servants and the donkey behind, Isaac said, "Father." "Here I am," replied Abraham. Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" "God himself will provide the lamb," Abraham answered. Caesarius says, "These two servants, whom Abraham ordered to stay behind with the donkey, typified the Jewish people who could not ascend or reach the place of sacrifice because they would not believe." To read the story, it feels like the reader is being left behind too. As when Abraham and Isaac set off for Moriah, now again, the reader is left agonizingly far behind. We can't hear their conversation as they ascend the mountain, though we wish we could. It's like the prayer of our Lord in Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." We don't know what else the Father and Son spoke about that night, because the disciples, listening, fell asleep. Like the servants of Abraham, left behind with the donkey. The sleep and the inability of the servants to follow both represent our weakness and frequent slowness to respond when we are invited to participate in the life of the Trinity. The narrative resumes at the top of the mountain. Abraham himself builds the altar. Isaac allows himself to be bound. The fire stands ready to send the offering to heaven. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But a voice called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here am I, Lord. Do not lay your hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God, since you did not withhold from me your son, your only son." Don't hear this as if God needed to test Abraham to see whether he loved him. God is not a scientist who needs experiments. The sacrifice of Isaac is not a test, but a demonstration. St. Ambrose calls it a banner and example to all peoples. In this near sacrifice of Isaac, we get a little glimpse into how God works and into what he is ultimately planning. Abraham looked about and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket, like our Lord crowned with the crown of thorns. Abraham took the ram and slew it and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Ambrose says again that Isaac is a figure of Christ in the spirit and the ram a figure of Christ in the flesh. As Abraham said at the bottom of the mountain, God himself will provide the lamb. This was fulfilled in a literal sense by this ram on the top of the mountain. But the implicit prophecy of Abraham is not ultimately fulfilled until the Father gives his son for the life of the world. Abraham's prophecy and the sacrifice of the ram is where the story of Isaac and Abraham concludes. When the church looks back on this Old Testament story, we can see how the sacred author is at work, quietly preparing God's people for what God was going to do. The Father who gives up his son, the son who carries the wood of his own sacrifice, and the fire carried between the Father and the Son. Of course, none of this is a perfect analogy. It can't be, and it is not meant to be. The story is not meant to be decoded. It's meant to be contemplated with appreciation for how it sketches out the truth ahead of time in shadow as an early step in the revelation of the perichoresis in the works of the Most Blessed Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.